Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we are going to take some time to hear the stories that you guys have been sending in regarding the transits of the past couple of months. I have been meaning to do a grabbed episode for a while and to share some of the amazing stories that you guys have sent in, both in the comments section and through to our email address. But things have been super busy. This spring has been packed full of powerful transits. So today I thought, you know, it's a good time to just remind ourselves that there's so many transits and it can really help to stand back and listen, to just really deeply listen to what other people have been experiencing. And this does a couple of things. One, it helps us to remember that we're not alone living in a vacuum, just me and the planets, you know, mano y mano, kind of duking it out and struggling along. It can help to hear that there are other people out there going through the same exact transits in so many different ways. To me, it's deeply reassuring and comforting, and it joins me in this practice to other souls, and that's really meaningful to me. The other thing that I think is that this is good for is to learn astrology. I mean, you want to talk about the best way to learn astrology? Talk to people, read charts. Listen to other people talk about their experiences of transits. As you do so over a while, you start to develop like a diviner's almanac, well, kind of like a farmer's almanac, but for astrologers in your head. You get this, your life becomes filled with stories. It's like you imagine, I don't know, at least my grandpa had a million stories. And that was one of the things I loved about him, despite some of the things I had, you know, that were challenging about him, which I wrote about in my book. But, he had a lot of stories. And to me, as an astrologer, I value storytelling. So this is also feeding some part of myself that wasn't, when I started this series, I realized was not being fed in the way that I was creating content every day. So in the hopes of making fun new content and feeding some part of myself, and sharing stories, and also trying to promote one of the best ways of learning astrology that I know, which is to hear the stories of people. And like one of the benefits that I have, right, that lots of people don't have when they're learning astrology is I get to read charts for people every single day to the point where, I don't know, I'm somewhere between 12 and 13, 14,000 charts. I haven't kept track since my 10-year mark. I have to do another inventory, but I don't know, it's somewhere between 10 and 15,000 charts that I've read. And when you do that, you hear so many different stories and you hear so many different expressions of the planets and the way they combine. So for students of astrology, this is the best way to go. So today, that's what we're going to do. Before we get into that, be sure to like and subscribe, share your comments, click the notification bell for updates once you subscribe. You can find a transcript of my daily talk on my website, nightlightastrology.com, where you can also learn more about my upcoming class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, which starts on June 12th. We pushed the start date back 1 week due to a scheduling conflict that came up. You will see on the courses page on the website, the first year course. Year two and horary classes start June 11th and 12th as well. But for now, if you want to learn more about the first year course, which is the best place to start, this is the page to find it on. Once you're on this page, you can scroll down and learn all about the program. If you have any questions, there's an FAQ section. You'll also notice right here is a replay video about what some of our recent alumni had to say about their experience going through the entire first year program. All of those women in the program are also going on to year two. So, the class, there's 30 classes on the year, 12 guest lectures. We have breakout study sessions in addition to those 30 classes where you can sit with tutors and ask questions and see more chart examples illustrating concepts. There's an interactive group forum discussion with paid tutors that are there to answer your questions throughout the year. You can email me anytime throughout the year with questions. You get to keep everything, download everything. If you can't make the live webinars, you get to keep, you can keep or download the talks and participate remotely. If you, some people do a little bit live and a little bit remotely, depending on their schedule. After the class is done, you have a year within which to take a final exam and be certified if you wish. Many people take this program as a way of really transforming their lives. Like the intention is to grow and develop the knowledge of a language that somehow grabs you in the best way possible. And so if you've been sort of bit by the astrology bug, this is a program that is meant to give you a lifelong spiritual practice in astrology. For many people, it also becomes something that they share with other people in the form of reading charts. So it can meet either intention that you may have. The early bird payment, save $500 off. You have through, you have all the way up to the start of class, the week of class, to use that. That saves you $500 off. There's a 12-month payment plan if you want to stretch it out over a year. And don't forget the need-based tuition option. If you want to take part in one of my courses, but you can't afford it, see if that might help. Click the Apply Now button and you can learn more about it. Questions about any of this, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. I hope to see some of you in class soon. I'm really looking forward to this new group that's getting started, especially with Jupiter in Aries. It's a very good time to set a strong intention for the sake of learning and spiritual growth. You know, Jupiter in Aries loves to initiate the study of some new material, or likes to plant this a sort of spiritual seed. So I think it's a very good time with Jupiter's placement right now for a lot of people, probably to begin deepening their study of astrology, or begin their study of ancient astrology. If you know a lot about modern astrology, you've been kind of in it for a while, but you've never studied ancient astrology, it is a game changer. It will blow your mind. So I highly recommend it. Anyway, so let's get into some storytelling. And at the end, I have some takeaways, just some simple thoughts that I was reflecting on after reading through these stories a few times. As you know, the stories I like to share, they are all across the spectrum in terms of funny and poignant and heartbreaking. So I'm going to share with you now. This is like a catch-up episode. I had probably 400 different stories that were shared with me to sift through. You know, in order to make one episode, which is really just catching up with the past couple of months dating back to April. So is it, I guess, late March into April was the last time we did an episode, if I remember correctly. So it's been a couple of months. So there's a lot to catch up on. So thank you everybody for sharing. Obviously I couldn't pick, you know, everybody, I couldn't share everybody's story, but I was so moved. And I'm just so fortunate to share this path of astrology and to be able to share stories with all of you. So, all right. So I'm going to read, and some of these are sort of random. Some of them are in order, you know, some of them are not, but I'll mention which transit it was that someone was writing in about as I read through these. So let's begin. This one is the Jupiter Mars. Some of these are very recent. We're starting off with some that are very recent. So this is Mars, Jupiter, and Aries story. And there's a few of these again that'll hit a little hard. But so there's some really light and fun and uplifting ones as well, just so you know where we're going. On Monday, May 23rd, my boyfriend, who's a high school teacher, learned that one of his students had died in a car accident. The student was very well loved at the school and is now helping his students process what is for most of them the first time they've experienced death. Then, on Tuesday, he witnessed a shooting followed by an arrest. We are both feeling the violence and death in the air right now, and so it is very heavy. Well, that's a good example of a Mars-Jupiter combination, as we've been talking about this past week. Unfortunately, Sarah has another one from this past week where she said, today a group of 50 to 60 students brawled at a nearby McDonald's, this is where she lives, close to the high school, and a student was tragically stabbed and lost his life from the injuries. It's a suburb, fairly safe neighborhood, so it was quite shocking to hear about. My heart is aching for the loved ones affected by all the violence here. So these are very Jupiter Mars like incidents that are really raw, and it's very much in the news this week. And there were others too that I didn't share, but are very similar in terms of the intensity of like violence and explosiveness in the air. Venus square to Pluto this week had someone write in and share, I finally made the decision to separate from my husband of 14 years. After consulting many people, they are all in agreement. I grew up in an emotionally abusive household and married an emotionally abusive man. I have two children with him, so we will be connected, but the process of separation begins. I cannot take it anymore. Well, our blessings and prayers to all of you who shared these heavy stories, and of course, for the victims, and also for you as you're making this difficult choice, but it sounds like one that's probably positive, you know, for your health. So you take care of yourself, and know that there's people out here that are sending you prayers today. And prayers to everyone who shared, really, that I couldn't mention as well. Mercury retrograde. I thought it was wonderful that this person said that they found this to be really sweet, that a sweet experience because they know astrology. He said, my computer, which I use mostly for work, has been feeling sluggish for the past couple of months. Well, it finally quit on me as Mercury turned retrograde. Just like on the day. So I thought that was, you know, it was very appropriate. But I love that this person said that because they knew astrology, they found it to be sweet. There's something about it that was sweet for them, and I think that's wonderful. That's a perfect expression of what I hope that people are getting from astrology, honestly. Okay. Lunar eclipse in Scorpio. This is for someone who is born Scorpio rising. So this would have been the lunar eclipse in Scorpio in the first house. A toilet cistern in my family home mysteriously sprang a leak while I was away on a vision quest. I returned to water pouring through the living room and bathroom ceilings on the floor below it. Major repairs will be required. Isn't that interesting that you went on a vision quest and presumably received some kind of vision, right? Right. And then you came home to this place that you've lived being flooded. I think that's just such a mysterious, but affirming symbol somehow. I mean, to me, I would be unsettled by it, but I would feel like, wow, okay. There's, you know, like you can't make this stuff up. That's really incredible. So I hope that the repairs aren't too bad, but wow, that's a powerful example of a lunar eclipse in a water sign right after this kind of existential shift of the vision quest you took. Someone shares this, Mars and Neptune. Remember when Mars and Neptune came together in Pisces? I had a few days of swimming in beautiful, clear water here in Florida. The ocean was calm and looked like the Bahamas. I swam 2 miles and snorkeled, spending hours in underwater paradise. The next morning, I awoke extremely uncomfortable and found that a horrible itchy rash had broken out on my body, only in the areas that the bikini covered, exclamation point. It was sea lice, not actual lice, but jellyfish larvae. They get trapped in your bathing suit and sting you. The beautiful paradise I escaped to left me with ridiculously itchy bites over my breasts and nether regions. It just felt very Mars and Neptune, of course, in a water sign. This was in Pisces' sixth house. See, sixth house, the joy of Mars in the place of frustrating. I'm sorry. That's so literal. I can't believe that. Oh, wow. That's funny. I mean, at least you can, like, if you know astrology, you can be like, oh, my God, you know, the astrology is biting my boobies. So. Sorry. Oh God. Okay. Here is a subtle encounter of Mars conjunct Neptune for me this week. I'm on a journey of deep psychotherapy with weekly sessions for the last year. On the 18th of May, I told my therapist I need to break because financially I don't have the cash flow at the present to keep going. I've thought this through with a lot of consideration, decided it's the best decision for me. Out of the blue, my therapist tells me she's part of a community health group which receives funding to subsidize therapy for those struggling to afford it. Instead of X amount for a certain number of weeks, it would be a far lesser amount, she goes on to explain. My response, I am surprised that this would be available to me. It would be supportive for me, but a current goal for me is working towards self-sufficiency financially. My conscience is now torn as I think of others who are really struggling without adequate healthcare and therapeutic support on these long wait lists for therapy and who are essentially a lot worse off than me, and I may be taking an opportunity away from them. So this is something this person was wrestling over as Mars conjoined Neptune. And you might remember that we talked about giving and receiving of aid and help and what to take and what not to, what's enabling and what's not. That's a really powerful example. And either way, I just commend you for the fact that you have found yourself in this situation and have the astrology there to help you reflect on it. I don't think there's a wrong choice you could make in this situation in some ways. I mean, maybe there is, I don't know, but it just feels like you've already won. You know, the fact that you're so conscious of all of these dynamics to me is a huge affirmation of, your integrity. And yeah, I just wish you the best. And I know that must have been a tough choice. Moon eclipse in the eighth house in Scorpio. I received a bill for taxes owing back from 2019. Ouch. Isn't that funny? How the eighth house. Lunar eclipse in Scorpio again in my first house. I decided to do a 5-day detox program. And this happened to coincide with the lunar eclipse in Scorpio in this person's first house. It's amazing how when eclipses come up in the first house, your health becomes such a thing. I have them in my first house right now, and I'm telling you, that's exactly what I've been going through. Sun square Saturn. We go back to the sun in Taurus, square to Saturn in Aquarius. My friend texted me this morning asking if I could send his father positive vibes because he was just rushed to the emergency room. I can't believe it. It is uncanny. And this was after watching the video that I did on Sun Saturn where I said the health of fathers could come up somehow. Well, I hope that your friend's father was okay. And our prayers to you, your friend as well. Venus enters Aries. This is such a weird, interesting story. I'm a part of a small women's dancing group. Through our dance, we express different women-related topics. Today, when approaching the building where we have our dance hall, I saw a gathering of people talking to policemen. Right when I entered the building, I saw huge puddles of blood and shattered glass on the ground. After the training we learned from the staff, our dance hall is located right above, that a drunk man fell through the front glass door and cut through the artery on his neck. So, I mean, just on the day that Venus is entering Aries, this person goes to their dance studio to see the entryway to the studio covered in blood because somebody crashed through the glass door. I mean, to me, that's just such a, like, it's, can it get more literal than that? You know, it's like, there's blood on the floor to the entrance of my dance studio today. Venus has entered Aries, you know? But isn't it amazing that you can somehow, you're looking at that and you're not just seeing blood. You're seeing the cosmos. You're seeing goddesses. That's freaking amazing. I can't ever get used to how much I love this stuff. It makes my life feel, no matter what, it's good. Good in the God called it good kind of way, I guess. That's how I feel about it anyway. Now, my Scorpio rising best friend's 5.5 year relationship suddenly erupted just after moving in together and getting engaged. And they've now ended their engagement. This is in between the eclipses in Scorpio and Taurus, which would have fallen on her good friend's first and seventh houses. So she felt like she should share that. I mean, there it is again. It's pretty incredible. And it's the kind, that's what I love about astrology too, is that, you know, I always say this and it sounds like people always misunderstand me when I say it, but I'm like, when you get really into astrology after a while, you stop kind of caring about your own chart all the time. It's not like I check in with my chart somewhat regularly, but not anywhere near as regularly as I did when I was first learning and I really wanted to learn and I was really sort of obsessed with like cracking the Da Vinci code of my chart, you know? Now it's like, I'm just curious about anything and everything. I mean, I was amazed at the transits going on in my daughter's charts when they got sick the other day, and my daughter had like RSV and COVID simultaneously, and the moon was going over the Mars was going over her moon, and she ended up being okay, thankfully. I like hearing other people's stories, you know, because it all does the same thing for me at this point. It just makes me go, oh, amazing. And that's all I'm looking for. You know what I mean? Ultimately, that's all I'm looking for. The chart going to tell me exactly who I am and how to get in there and fix the nuts and bolts of my, I'm just like exhausted from the effort. You know, I do astrology because I like the magic and the richness of seeing the gods moving as surely as the wind is moving through the trees outside my window right now. That's what I love. And that's why I love to hear your guys' stories. So this one is hard. Jupiter, Neptune, but beautiful. Jupiter, Neptune, conjunction in Pisces. A friend of mine found out she had cancer at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. It was triple breast cancer and she was only 38 at the time. I'm not sure I totally understand that, but whatever that is, does not sound good. Her partner left their job, and for the past 2 years, they were fighting this illness like two lionesses. On Sunday, this is right around the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, in the morning, my friend passed away in her sleep. I thought to myself, if she had to go, this was such a beautiful moment to do so. May she rest in peace. Thank you for sharing that. I had a surprisingly, like a significant amount of people share with me stories about people passing under Jupiter, Neptune, but them being filled with a sense of peace about it. And that angle kind of took me by surprise. Like it was not the one I was expecting from this transit, but it turned out that it was, there was a sense of like peaceful transitions that were sometimes like bittersweet, a little tragic, but somehow there was a peace. This is the Jupiter-Venus conjunction in Pisces. You may remember Venus exalted in Pisces a little while back, conjoining Jupiter. I like this one. I'm living in a hippie village in Guatemala. First of all, sounds like fun. And the day after the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, I found myself at a women's gathering. There were 12 of us, and we were at a house with a very beautiful, large, and private garden. The house was up on the mountain, and one could see Lake Atitlan through the opening of the trees. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. We spent hours dancing in the garden, and each one of us was completely naked. This is sounding more and more like a hippie village. I'm just kidding. There was a wonderful feeling of liberation, play, magic, and celebration of our womanhood. It felt like we were in the lush Garden of Eden. It sounded like you're all drunk on Jupiter-Neptune too, just saying. It felt like we were in the lush It felt like we were in the lush Garden of Eden as we were surrounded by beautiful flowers, gorging on fruits, and painting each other's bodies with sandalwood clay and gold glitter. It definitely felt like the energy of the Venus. It sounds like my daughter's bedroom. It definitely felt like the Venus exalted in Pisces with Jupiter conjunct Neptune smiling down us. Because I'll tell you, in my house, there is a lot of glitter and there is a lot of like loving of painting and dancing. And both of my girls, once it's around bath time, are pretty much running around the house naked. And that's the world I live in. So hippie village, that sounds like a great, it sounds like that was a very beautiful experience though. I mean, I can only imagine how deeply bonding and, you know, uplifting that must have felt. So I'm glad to hear of such a, it's just a quintessential Venus Jupiter, an exalted Venus and Jupiter, and you're just there by the seaside, going, you know, like gorging on fruit and painting each other and running around. So here's another Jupiter Neptune, a little different on this side. 2:15 a.m., I awoke from a dream about being in a torrential rainstorm to the reality of being torrentially poured upon by water pouring through my bedroom ceiling from a burst pipe above me in my condo. Stepped out of bed into an inch and a half of water flooding my entire home. Bathroom ceiling collapsed, walls ruined, tile floor throughout destroyed. Two adjacent homes got similar damage. And guess what? Happy Easter. So doesn't that make you laugh? Like, it makes me, I mean, not that if I were in that situation, I'd probably be like cursing Jehovah or whatever, but you know, once you get a little distance from it, but this person did have a smiley tear, cry, laugh face. So I'm assuming they were laughing too. I don't mean to laugh at your pain, but Jupiter, see, that's my sixth sense of humor, but this is why I love astrology, because it helps me to laugh at just about everything. Jupiter-Neptune conjunction landed on the IC in this gentleman's fourth house. And this person's a double Cancer, so attracted to water, apparently. No, I'm kidding. But I predicted how this might go. And it's not exactly what I envisioned. Oh, my gosh. And then there's that was the laughter and cry emoji. So thank you for sharing that. First of all, isn't it amazing that that somehow happened for you on Easter morning, that you would be like, and thus, you know, and God spoke, and the, you know, the waters poured out of heaven and new life came upon thee, something like that. And you're sitting there, you're like, oh, I wonder what magic the Jupiter Neptune conjunction will bring. But in all seriousness, I hope that your home is okay. And I hope you were able to, you know, insurance covered it. God forbid that I hope it really didn't mess you up in any way, honestly. But I love that you seem to have a good sense of humor about it, because isn't that, again, what astrology is here for, at least in certain moments? Someone else thought talking about Jupiter Neptune and said, I sort of thought this was going to be a flop for me. And I wasn't feeling as excited about this transit. I was feeling some head barely above water anxiety for days about an upcoming job and housing transitions that would put me in financial stretch. Kept wondering if I was delusional to even consider the implications of living in one of the country's most expensive cities. But one morning I had the spark of inspiration to make a post on a Facebook nanny page. And within a day, it blew up with offers that pay better than my professional job. I honestly had my hope restored. That was the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I love that story. That's freaking fantastic. And that does that's kind of what I was talking about when we were talking about Jupiter-Neptune for so many episodes. It was like, look, that's the kind of thing that can happen. you know, yeah, you can get flooded too, but at least it's on Easter. There's something weird about this transit, the more I'm reflecting. I mean, because it's like, how many Jupiter-Neptune transits have I lived through since being a full-time astrologer? Not really any. So, you know, my ability to understand certain transits, it doesn't really develop fully or more deeply until you live through some of them, which don't come around all that often. That's the other thing. So, you know, I'm learning as much about this transit, you know, as I was having any clue what it was going to be about, if that makes sense. And the thing that's amazing to me is how, you know, that there's that sense of the torrential downpour, the deluge, the release, the passing over, the transition, but somehow it's a transition that offers some kind of hope or peace or rebirth, even if there's the sense of like, well, the ceiling broke open and, you know, the heavens poured into my condo. I like this one too. My grab story is that this is Jupiter Neptune. I attended Catholic Mass for the first time in my life on Easter. So another Easter story. After listening to a Catholic podcast that made a positive impact on me and reacquainted me with the Bible. It was a beautiful experience, and I realized I could see myself joining such a tradition in the future. The reverent feel of the service, the gravitas of the ancient traditions, the power of rituals, even the many I was or am ignorant of, affected me more deeply than I expected, as if quenching some thirst in my soul that I didn't even know was there. I still feel reluctancy to identify as religious due to how problematic doing so was for me in the past. But they expressed that this was a very positive feeling that felt like it at least restored their faith and connection to a spiritual path. That's amazing. That is just amazing. And isn't it amazing that you knew that these planets were also coming together in the sky, and you can see them reflected in the emotions and the feeling and the upliftment that you experienced around going to church for the first time in a long time. And to me, you know, that's exactly what you can expect from Jupiter Neptune, whether you're going to a church or whether you're, you know, dancing and painting your bodies or whatever, you know, or, you know, even maybe getting lice in your panties. So, all right. Well, anyway, this one, Venus Neptune in Pisces with Jupiter, they were all sort of getting together there. And this person booked a trip to Disney World in order to spend time with my three little nieces. And I love that you mentioned this as the Magical Kingdom transit, because this happened to land in this person's fifth house. And I had actually literally talked about Disney World in the fifth house after, in a horoscope that I did, after the fact that they had already just gotten these reservations. Fairy princesses, here I come. That's wonderful. This one is a dream that someone shared about there, and there couldn't be, by the way, there couldn't be anything more Venus, Neptune, Jupiter in Pisces than, like, you know, Disney World. It's like all of the illusion of it and all of the magic of it. Here's a Taurus solar eclipse story. This is a dream, I was in a magical subterranean forest-like environment. It was nighttime, and the dull lunar light of the solar eclipse shone through the treetops. First of all, I like your writing. I was standing on a mound of dark earth and moss on the banks of a large, deep pond. The smell of the earth was rich and strong. Trees with their gnarled and bending branches circled the water. Directly across from me was a gorgeous waterfall that poured into the pond. I was aware of a few other people in my peripheral vision, but I only really noticed one person. I looked to my right, and about 20 feet away stood an old love. He's an Aries. He looked at me, smiled, and then immediately dove into the waterfall, water fully clothed. I said, hell yeah, and I dove in too. For the next while, I swam around basking in the beauty of this incredible otherworldly and mystical place. I swam to the waterfall and let the gentle and holy waters wash over me. I was home. I belonged. At one point, I said to my old friend, in the future, if I ever get lost in the fairy realm or find myself in between worlds, I will come back and find this place again. Shortly after, everyone dispersed and went their separate ways, and I woke up. Wow. I mean, this, first of all, this strikes me as having probably some of the Neptune, Jupiter, Venus energy in it somehow, or maybe even just the Jupiter energy a little bit in Pisces, and with Neptune sort of there. But what I love about this, if you consider it from the standpoint of having this dream during the eclipse, or like right on the day of the eclipse or whatever, is that the Taurian, remember that Taurus, the sign of Venus, the exaltation of the moon, and the eclipse was near Uranus. It feels to me, and I'm not trying to interpret your dream, but it feels to me like this place at the very least is it's a real place. It lives in the psyche. It lives in the heart. It's not a literal place, but it is a real one. You know, and that it almost seems like it's, how can I put it? I hear this dream and I feel like it is the hope or promise of some new dimension when I want to find this place again, right? And there's something of return to Eden, or you know, this kind of Uranian impulse to change the scenery somehow and find some place that's lush and beautiful and constitutes a change from the status quo. And yet it's also some kind of return, which feels like Jupiter, Neptune in the background. Anyway, I just was struck by that dream because I felt, first of all, it's beautifully written. I just loved it. And then also I felt like in reading that dream or in hearing it, I felt like this is a new space. It's a real space. It already exists, but it's also, you know, it's going to try to look for expression in your life somehow if it comes in under that kind of an eclipse. Anyway, here's a Pluto trine Mercury story that someone shared. I loved this one. I had a leak in my lawn sprinkler system. This is as Pluto and Mercury are in a trine, was on a waiting list for someone to come out to troubleshoot. He was originally not available for a few weeks. Earlier this morning, randomly, the guy called me and was available today. He found a hidden underground control box that had grass growing over it with broken pipes inside. He literally uncovered what was previously hidden in the earth, revealed it, and was discussing the informations and workings of the water system of my yard. Pluto trine Mercury in Taurus, all the overwhelming Pisces energy needed to make its way in there, since the issue was how the water was not properly flowing in the system. So this Pluto trine to Mercury was happening in the fourth, connecting through the fourth house in this person's chart as well. First of all, I think that's amazing that Pluto trines Mercury. You're working on some kind of water problem and water flow problem. Pluto trines Mercury and you unearth broken pipes and an old control box to a water system in the yard, a sprinkler system. I mean, like, my God, you know, it's so simple. There is not a lead broken pipe or a, you know, a dusty old control box buried under the ground that the gods don't see. You know what I mean? That isn't, I don't know. It just blows my mind. What is going on? This person said, how literal does this sky magic get? And that's the thing, is that to me, when I say it gets literal, I don't mean that it needs to be literal for me to be impressed by it. What I love about things getting so literal is that it means that everything is sacred. It means that everything, you know, there's not a blade of grass that could not be included in what the heavens are saying. That, you know, what does that tell us about each other and how to look and see each other and see the world? If it doesn't shake your soul a little bit, you know, turn up the volume, I guess. So anyway, this person said, thank you so much for your content. It's meant the world to me since beginning this journey into astrology. Rather than feeling lost in the woods, I feel like I've met travelers that teach me how to read a map and use a compass. Just wanted you to know that your content on YouTube is a gift that I'm grateful to have found. Well, thank you. And I'm grateful for you sharing that. And I'm hoping you get your water system working now that Mercury and Pluto got together and helped you find the hidden control box. That's crazy. I love that. Well, I have 10 things that I want to say about astrology and what it does for me and why I hope that you find these storytelling episodes helpful. These are my metaphors. Number one, astrology is the hidden control box. Astrology is always helping us locate an intelligence that is moving in and below everything, often invisibly. And I don't think of astrology as the, you know, something that's controlling everything. It's that sense of an intelligent design, an intelligent technology that is in the substrata of our very, of the bones of the planets. You know, it's everywhere. Number two, astrology is the place that we find again. Astrology is that world that is so beautiful that we feel so at home in. It is a cosmos like the dream that woman had. And it keeps us, for me, astrology keeps bringing me back there because of these magical stories. Three, astrology is the real Magic Kingdom. No hating on Disney World, right? But astrology makes every day an experience, an event, and even things as mundane as pipes in your house or sprinkler boxes in the ground magical. Astrology itself reminds us that we live in an enchanted world. Number four, astrology is the broken pipes leaking spirit. See, when all of these stories about pipes are breaking open, we all know that there's something more than the literal pipe breaking open. And yet the literal pipe is part of how spirit is speaking or what spirit is coming through. Nothing in this world can contain spirit ultimately. And yet spirit is very happy to use and work and move in and through everything without exception. Astrology is the broken pipe leaking spirit. Number five, astrology is the peace that passes understanding. Your friend passed, you know? But you know you have this peace, knowing that there are dove wings opening up on either side of her as Jupiter conjoins Neptune. That is beautiful to have that kind of understanding of life. Astrology is the offer so sweet, so beautiful, that it doesn't matter if you take it or not. That woman received the offer for free counseling or reduced price counseling, and she didn't know whether to take it or not, and she saw the planets in the mix of all of it. And it's being able to see and understand that what you're experiencing is divine as you're experiencing it, that almost always matters more than if you get the thing right or not. Number seven, the planets are the sea lice in your panties. The planets are there in our irritations, in our accidents, in, you know, red rashes and, you know, the bumps that come after you swam in paradise. And they can make you laugh about it. They can help us to suffer well, to suffer with some insight or sense of humor, and also to suffer. Astrology is the trust during heavy times. We're going through some really heavy times right now. And astrology says, but I'm here too. You can see the planets here now too. It's heavy, but it's real. And ultimately, for the eternal, immortal soul, real is where the love is. Number nine, astrology is your magical nanny. You know, sometimes you feel like, what's going on? Finances are stretched thin. We have this still, no matter what age in life we're at, we have anxieties, we have fears. We want to know that something is looking out for us. Astrology is your magical nanny that somehow leads you to making a post for a nanny gig that ends up paying more than your professional job. There's something looking out for us. And astrology constantly brings us back to that. Sometimes it's about helping us deal with frustration. Sometimes it's finding trust during heavy times. Sometimes it's teaching us how to suffer well. Sometimes it's teaching us how to laugh. Sometimes it's reminding us that everything is magical. Sometimes it's looking out for us and it has our back. All of those things are good. Astrology is the blood on the ground too. That's the hard one, right? We've been living with that lately. Astrology is the blood on the ground. And for ancient astrologers, don't forget that the whole tradition in the ancient world surrounding divination, there was a sense that in the great circles and cycles of life, that blood is the ultimate fertilizer. And there's a sacrificial nature to the way that life in the universe is evolving and moving and expressing itself. And it is so, on our human level, it is so tragic, especially when there's injustice and cruelty and darkness involved. But ultimately, when we see the planets in the midst of what's happening, we can trust, because it's our responsibility to sanctify those moments by, you know, making them holy and reinforcing to the people around us by the way we live our life that I live in a sacred cosmos. That's our responsibility as astrologers. So these stories for your consideration today. I hope that you enjoyed them. Don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments, click the notification bell for updates. You can find transcripts of my daily talks on my website, nightlightastrology.com, where you will also find the information about my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, which starts on June 12th. Hope to see some of you guys there. You can find it at the website. There's the website address if you need it. Any questions about the course, email us, info@nightlightastrology.com. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Keep the stories coming. If you ever want to share a story, use the hashtag grabbed or email us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com, and we will be very happy to share your story in a future episode. All right, take it easy, everyone. Have a great weekend.